Schubert.
Time here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. And we're doing the roundtable thing. Grego is here. Gordo is here. Junior is here. Giorgio is here. And we've been telling stories of ticket days past on our 10th birthday. And once the little ticket got on the airwaves, and really even before it got on the airwaves, we had a target in mind. Because everybody's got enemies in this business. Everybody's got somebody that you're after. And for us, enemy number one were the folks over at the home of the hated rat bastards, 570 KLIF, who at that time were headed up by none other than our very own market manager at Susquehanna today, Dan Bennett.
It's all Dan Bennett's fault.
And he joins us right now.
Big Dan Bennett.
Yes. To give us the story of things from 570 KLIF. Now, what was it like for you once you found out what was up with this thing and who it was and just what the deal was with it?
And some other stuff.
Whose idea was it
to buy the ticket? Did you come up with that?
Whoa, let's back up here. Let's do pre-ticket first.
Right.
What were the Cliff thoughts on pre-ticket?
Pre-Susquehanna purchase
of
ticket.
I think a lot of the guys didn't take it seriously. That's pretty common. I mean, they can't touch us. So, that was pretty much the theme through the building when y'all first came on the air. And really, I got to tell you, for what the station was when it began, and I know you're going to hate this, but I give Thompson a lot of credit for changing the attitude of the station when he came in there, and he really changed it to a more attitudinal type of radio station, and I think it got a lot better. I mean, you guys really loosened up. It became a much more... It then became a lot more than a sports station. It became a guy talk station. And then it became a much more formidable force.
I don't think there's any question about that Lighty did that.
Yeah, he did.
Well, by the way, Lighty's here. We're going to talk to him later on.
Yeah.
All right, so...
Now, when did you start to take it a little seriously and think, hey, maybe these guys might have something?
It was the fall book of 94 when you guys popped that big rating book that just, came out of nowhere. The summer book... I remember a certain sports writer in town calling me after the summer book of 94.
Right.
You guys had a horrible book. And he called up and said, how much longer before you think they, just forget this thing? And I remember saying, hey, look, I've been doing this a long time. You can't go off of one rating book. If they have three of these in a row, then maybe we can have this conversation. Then you guys came right back in the fall book, fall of 94, as I remember, and had the most unbelievable...
We were number one.
Number one, 25-54 men, beat KLIF, and then it was like, oh, my God.
But you had to be thinking, well, this is a fluke. This is not right.
Yeah, because, we did.
And it wasn't right.
And it was, and it came right back down to earth.
But it didn't come back down to earth to where that it probably should have been.
Not all the way back down to earth, which was a sign that some of it was real. And that we really had to take this thing seriously. Absolutely.
And so how far into were competitors and it's Hatfields and McCoy, and then when did you get interested in buying the ticket? When did our company, Susquehanna, get interested in buying the ticket?
Well, when SFX bought the radio station.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We had SFX first.
And I'm trying to remember exactly when that was.
Would have been about a year in, wouldn't it?
About
one year.
We were approached by it, and we didn't like the price. We had the discussion. We didn't like the price. We thought it was way too high, and we passed on the deal. And then what happened is, in 1996, I remember one day getting a call from the president of our company, and I really don't talk to him that often. And you know that when he's calling, it must be something pretty serious. And he said, we have an opportunity to buy the ticket. What do you think? And I said, ooh, in a heartbeat. Because the ticket was doing really well from a programming standpoint. You guys at that point were getting really good numbers. But financially, it wasn't doing well at all. And I said, hey, the product is there. It's a great radio station. We think we can come in and get it profitable in no time at all. And, he said, well, if you think that it's worth it, then we're going to go do this. Then we had to do the whole due diligence thing. And what do we think we're going to pay for it? What do you think you can cash flow with it? All that kind of stuff. And then one day he just called up and said, we bought it. And that was the same day that Grego had gone on the air and just ripped in the cliff.
This is great. This is great. We've been having this conversation for about 3 weeks about buying the ticket, and I'm going down the street in my car one day, and I had just found out that we had bought the ticket, okay? And it was like in the middle of the day, Dave Kennedy, our president, calls up and says, done deal, got the deal done. Man, that's great. I get my car, and it was the middle of the day. You guys were doing midday, and I'm hearing Grego on the air going, I'm telling you, Ryan, people at Cliff, it's a fraud. They're nothing but a bunch of frauds. Of course, I'm like driving down the street, and I'm laughing out loud thinking to myself, man, buddy, you are going to have a bad day.
And see, we all thought. You don't know how bad it was. We seriously thought when Susquehanna bought us, and by the way, it's turned out to be the best thing that's ever happened to the ticket, is to be owned by Susquehanna. But the day that happened, we all thought we were gone.
Yeah, we thought it was blown. It was the equivalent of... like the Hatfields buying the McCoys. Yeah. You know they're just going to start mowing you down with a machine gun.
And the thing is that you know, we found out that they'd bought us, and nobody worse could have bought us at the time.
Right.
Nobody.
Right.
And then we're like, well, it's been a good run. But, I mean, it was a done deal. I mean, we are out of there. I mean, we are not going to survive that. It's just a matter of time.
Was that when Grego fell into the bushes at the compound? Because he was so upset?
That might have been the
maybe. Night. It may have been.
But then...
but you never considered firing us.
Never for a minute. I mean, because we had the conversation with the president of our company, and I said, it's a great product, Dave. You don't want to get rid of anybody on the on-air side.
Well, did he want to?
No, absolutely not.
But, see, you know,
but he will always ask me that question because that's what he does. Oh. He doesn't. He's not a dictator. He's the kind of guy that says, what do you want to do? Do you want to keep all of these people? I said, on air, absolutely. The off-air thing, well, that's a whole other story, and we need to have a conversation about that.
And the funny part about it was, after it was announced, then in the radio business, it happens all the time. And when it does, you know, usually there's a lot of changes.
Right.
And nobody knows, and there's all kinds of rumors flying around. So that day that it was announced, you and Dan Halliburton came over to talk to us. So we're thinking at the time, okay, we're going to get some answers now. They gathered everybody in the conference room. They came in there and they said, well, the rumors are true. We bought it and, you know, you're now a part of our station and that's about all we know. So we'll see you.
No.
Well, now, wait a minute. No, wait a minute.
What we did say
was... listen to me.
We said, those of you that are in the room, we've evaluated the staff. There are some positions we have eliminated because of the consolidation, but none of them were on air. Those of you who are here, we have you as part of the plan for the future.
Unless you're reading a newspaper.
Ah!
Okay.
And good afternoon.
Inside joke.
Sorry.
So anyway, we have that meeting. We tell all you guys that. And you know, we could tell a look on your face. You didn't believe anything.
No, we didn't. Let me tell you why. Okay. I've been around in the business for a few years.
And you're a slick son of a bitch.
Shut up. All right, let's go mic off here.
Mic off.
And, you know, our paths had crossed a few times.
Right.
And, you know, we knew each other.
Right.
I figured I might get at least a little nod from you that day. And you did not even make eye contact.
Is that right?
Yes. That is true.
Well, I mean, you guys...
Well, you know, Reiner, I mean, when you look over there and your arms are crossed and your eyes are piercing through like you hate us...
You're afraid to.
I wasn't exactly ready to go up and go, hey, buddy, give me five. I mean, you know, come on, Mike. But so anyway, I got to tell you this. So we walk out of the room, and I looked at Dan Halliburton, and I said... they didn't believe a damn word we just said.
We didn't.
And he looked at me and he said, I know, they didn't believe anything.
Well, that's what makes Susquehanna so great, because we had been told things like that before by other radio stations, and then we see
fellow
employees get fired.
Right.
So, I mean, we've been around for a while, and we decided, well, they're like every other radio company. We'll come in and fire everybody.
Well, you know, the thing is that, you know, I'm a big Susquehanna fan, and I've been with the company 20 years, and when they tell you something, they really do try to be straight with people, and we thought we were being straight, but we knew you guys didn't believe anything we said. So I got to tell you this, though. So, like, the next day, it's like the weekend, I work out at Premier Athletic Club. Grego's a member there. I come down the steps to the locker room. Grego is sitting there on the couch. He sees me, and I'm telling you, he looks like he has seen a ghost. He has the OS look on his face, you know what I mean? And I finally just went up to him and I said, look, we're not going to fire you. Will you just relax?
But once again,
will you hold me? Will you hold me, Jim?
Once again, I'm not buying any of that.
Right.
And, you know, you've since told me over the years that we've got to know each other that, you know, because I was 100% convinced we were going to be fired. 100%. And you've since told me that not only were we not going to be fired, but you were already formulating the plan to move us to afternoon drive.
Well, yeah, I want to say something about that.
What about it, buddy?
Since then, Thompson has gone around and said to people, oh, yeah, well, you know, it's my idea to move them to afternoon drive. That is the biggest crime. I am telling you, I go to Thompson and say, I want to move the hard line to afternoon drives. And he goes, buddy, when it ain't broke, don't try and fix it.
I hired Gordo from a 7-Eleven.
And I give him every reason in the world why you guys make sense for afternoon drive. And the great thing is, when moving to afternoon drive, the numbers just skyrocket like crazy overnight. Next thing I know, Thompson's going around to people going, yeah, well, you know, I knew that. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, what is it with this guy?
Whose idea was it for us in mornings?
Well, you guys were
that was before Susquehanna.
You guys were in mornings. We bought it.
Oh, that's right.
Suck balls.
That was the laddie. Yeah.
That was Thompson's idea too.
We will give him that one. We will give him that one. We will not give him the afternoon drive. We will not give him.
And see, the funny part about it was is that and we'll get into this when we get
that's
him up here.
Butter.
There you go. We'll put him through the ringer. Ron, remember that when he brought it up to us when we were in '96 when we were in New York for the Rangers playoff.
Right.
So here's Thompson going, now, what do you guys think about moving you to afternoon? And of course, I don't think anything out. I'm like, no, we can't do that. We can't beat Galloway.
Yeah.
And Reiner's over here, the voice of reason, going, no, just hold on. You know, maybe we'd be interested in that.
I'm telling you, the amazing thing about that is you guys popped immediately. That thing, when the fall book came out, we went and looked at the week by week. And the week we moved you to afternoon drive, that thing went up like 35% immediately. It was instantaneous.
Wow.
The greatest of the hard line.
That's right. All of our way is through the hard line.
That's right.
Don't ever forget that.
By the way, Gordon, I don't love them more than I love you guys, okay? I know you tell people that. You always tell people that.
Well, you always tell us that.
Well,
yeah. Dan, you know what? You should love us more.
Oh,
you
please.
Should.
Hey, Dan Bennett.
We're a lot easier to work with. We work harder. I mean,
it took Dan Bennett 2 years to figure out what my job was.
And why he was paying you all that money to do that.
What are you talking about?
I don't make
any money, sir.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, we bought the station. I said, okay, now, Gordon Keith, let's talk about him. You know what Mike called you? He called you the little hummer boy.
I know. That's what he called me.
He's my little hummer boy.
It was kind of a better world back then, you know?
Not to pull the curtain back too much. I don't know if you're comfortable talking about this, but...
You know, how big are you in the pants? I mean,
but the ticket was losing quite a bit of money when you guys bought it. A
lot of money.
And didn't you give them a, or they gave you a timetable of like a year or something?
Well,
and didn't you turn it around? I mean, you turned it around in like a month.
Well, it was amazing because right when we bought the ticket, we had our corporate meetings, and we run into the owner. I run into the owner of our company, Louis Appel, who's a fabulous guy, and I told him how much we were excited about the ticket. And he said, well, you know, it's losing, you know, X amount of money a month. And it was a lot. And I said, you know, yes, Mr. Appel, I realize that. And he said, well, how long do you think it'll take before you can make a profit? And I said, well, and I'm sitting there, I said, well, you know, kind of from what we think we can do it, hopefully within the, you know, first 6 to 9 months. And he looked at me and he goes, I was kind of hoping 90 days. And the amazing thing is, we got in there, we realized there are a lot of things that we could do. My corporate controller, business controller, Joan Leonard, who's a great money person, we teamed up on it. We worked on it for about a month. And the amazing thing is the ticket was profitable the first month we owned it.
Wow.
Yeah. And that is with really no increase in sales. It was just, you know, consolidation. We didn't have to have a business department because we already had one. We consolidated some of those positions, and the radio station became profitable the very first month we owned it.
Amazing. Well, Cat's giving us the, we got to go, Dan. Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Dan, for sticking with us.
Yeah, thank you, Dan. Us.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Dan. There he is, the great Dan Bennett. Yeah. He is the market manager. No longer a rat bastard.
No longer a rat bastard.
Questionable, buddy.
There's still some out there, but not him.
All right, who's coming up next?
Butter?
Is it time for the laddie?
It's the laddie.
All right. Up next.
We visit with the Wild Irish Laddie next here on The Ticket.